If you'd like to be seated, we're gonna go back into prayer in just a moment. And some of you maybe don't know who Roger Joyner is. So I just wanted to introduce you to my good friend Roger. Gabrielle is there, his wife, on the front row. Can we just welcome them? Amy and I have known Roger and Gabrielle for many years now, and they lead a house of prayer right up there in Oroville. And, you know, I had asked him to come this week and share something with us, and so he's going to do that. Thanks, Roger.
Yeah. As we were in the midst of crying out for an army, and calling them to the great cause of whatever it is, not to downplay the great cause of whatever that cause is. But like, I was just thinking about Cheryl's son, who is getting awakened to be put on a shirt. And what happens when a generation gets clothed in righteousness? I believe the shirt that he's getting clothed in is being clothed in righteousness. And yesterday, last night, I was reading this passage where it says, 2 Corinthians 3:9, that if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. You know, and primarily when we call a younger generation out, and even when we as leaders try to mobilize an army into action, we primarily mobilize them by the need, by the crisis, by the sin, you know, tell them about their irregularity, how they're, you know, not faithful or devoted. And then we lift up a man who, whoever it is, whether it's Father Nash, not to put down Father Nash, or whether it's Charles Finney, and we lift them up and we say, look at their great devotion. And devotion will look like this if you want to change the world. But I believe what Alex is trumpeting, Alex has been a friend in some ways. Him and Amy have fathered and mothered me in language and heartbeat. I remember meeting him at Bethel Church, you know, and we were talking about city taking, and we had the same language. And along the way, they've helped to father me in this. This language, I believe, is language of a much more exceeding glory of the ministry of righteousness. What happens when you call a generation into the beauty of holiness? It says, this is clothed in the beauty of holiness. They'll volunteer freely in the day of power. What's the beauty of holiness? The nature of Jesus. And just to be vulnerable, I've been running with the call and the cause and J-Hop and Bound for Life and, you know, whatever. You know, the 10 ministries that we birth. And there's been a measure for me, a young, passionate person. You're probably like, I mean, where'd your passion go? Yeah, right. You know, you're like, we used to be more crazy. Used to be more crazy, okay? But in the measure of passion and all that, it was turn a nation back to God. It was end abortion. It was whatever it was being called to. And I'm not putting down spiritual mothers and fathers, but what I've been awakened to is his face. Remember leading the night watch in Washington, D.C., and we're leading our first Justice House of Prayer night watch, and they gave me all the outlaw kids, you know? All the tough crazies, you know, the long-haired, listen to death metal Christian music during their devotional time, you know. And those guys, I had weeping in the side room because they were saying, why are you so intense? Because there was a measure of me pushing in my own flesh and in my own ability and in my own legs, you know. You go to the old J-Hop and you see my spit stains, and maybe 10%, maybe I'm being too intense, maybe not. Maybe 10% of that was spirit-led prayer. And I led a generation into being burnt out. And I remember, you know, talking to the leader and sit down with them. Listen, I'm not supposed to be the leader of the night watch. Oh, Roger. You know, yes, you are. You got this. You're such a great leader. No, I'm not. I'm not such a great leader. I'm not. I'm getting them to yell at the window. You know, they would go and invade other people's sets, and they would step in and just start yelling in intercession and have no discernment at times of what the Holy Spirit was doing. Because I was so given to the great purpose and the great cause, whatever it is, instead of fellowshipping and abiding in a vine that brings forth eternal fruit. Man, if we cross over to something, can we cross over into a generation and just say, listen, and we don't even understand it. If you understand it, a hallelujah that you got it. But we don't even understand the depth of His love. I spent a season, I almost burnt out two of my best friends, and I spent a season, this was actually right after that trip, I don't know if you know Alex, but Maddie Ray and David Hofshi, when we got done with that 40-day time, almost weren't my friends anymore. Because control and religion don't, you know, and rebellion don't mix together well, you know. I was religious and controlling and mixing it with the guy that I was trying to pour in. Just, boom, stirred up rebellion. And I left that realizing I have no nature of Christ. At least not the nature that I desire. And I cracked open Isaiah 51 and I found this scripture that said, we with open faces beholding us in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. And oh, that we would see the transformation. You want to see a city transformation? Right here. So we moved to Oroville years later, you know. Oh, I'm going to put the pieces together. So I spent 40 days reading who has believed the report, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, and at times yelling, God, I don't understand this. Other times weeping, sometimes getting revelation and going, I don't understand this love. I don't understand this love. And patience was growing and love was growing inside of me and humility was growing inside of me because He was shining on me. Yeah. And anymore did I have to direct or control the meeting. I just wanted to be with Him. Right. The ministry of condemnation had glory. You know, talks about Moses and he had that glory on his face and it was fading. Yeah. It says anytime that you read it, the veil is still there, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Man, if this crossover, if we would turn to the Lord, and we have over and over and over and over, and we're on this journey, but if we would just turn to the Lord, the veil would be taken away. You know what I get tripped out about? Is that we would call a generation to great cause, and we wouldn't have sat down at the table of intimacy ourselves. I grew up in Oroville, and taking my hat off, my hair is crazy, sorry. I grew up in Oroville, and at different times I would be different places, but I would always be yearning to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Oroville. And I was in San Francisco listening to this teaching by Mike Bickle. And in the teaching by Mike Bickle, he was asking the intercessors that had prayed for 5 years and 3 years and 10 years. And in the teaching, he was asking them to stand up. And then he was having all the people around him put their hands on him and pray. And he was like, thank you. Thank you for your life, you know. And I know that's us. Thank you for your life, you know. And then he prays, now God, switch the reward.
That the reward wouldn't be their children coming back to Jesus. That the reward wouldn't be the outpouring that he promised to their cities. That the reward wouldn't be whatever it is you put it on there, whatever's on your prayer list. But that the reward would be Jesus. And something leapt on me. I hit pause on that thing and I began to wail. And pray for the intercessors that taught me how to pray in Oroville. I pray, God, I know so many of them have so much hope deferred in their heart that they're bitter and they can't even stand church, you know? If you've been an intercessor for any measure of time, you can get bitter if the reward's not right. So I just wailed, and I ended up getting sent back to Oroville, my wife and I. Dramatic encounters, but we were sent back to Oroville. And as we were sent back to Oroville, I had prayed that prayer about switching the reward. And that night, one of our spiritual daughters has a dream. And in the dream, she said she saw us standing on a bridge. And I was releasing revival over it. It's probably not I, you know what I mean? But revival was coming up over the bridge. But when I landed in Oroville, I realized what it is. That when you switch the reward, that's the great outpouring that we've been longing for. The great outpouring that we've been longing for is the switching of the reward. Listen, I live in a city where the 58 counties put their soil in the dam of Oroville. 58 counties in California put their dam into that dam. And I'm wondering that what happens when we drink of the living water, us. You know, the promo for this thing. You guys seen the promo for the crossover thing? Man, that thing has fed me for a couple weeks. You know, the enemy has raised up a standard or whatever it is against the host of the hopeful. But hell has no remedy for a river. Hell has no remedy for people that sit down at the table. Yeah. Hell has no remedy for those that come to Jesus weary and heavy laden and drink up the water. Yeah. Because that's where the gusher breaks out. Listen, when I started reading Isaiah 53, who has believed the report? I started to believe the report. Even now, just to humble myself, I feel like even now my own reward is being switched. I went there to believe that God was going to switch the reward in the city. And he's switching the reward in me. Right? Honestly, I mean, I'm not putting, oh God, I'm just going to say it and you can clean it up, Alex. Because it might be offensive, whatever. Just, you're already making it awkward. Okay. I have a hard time praying for the army to rise up and to call them to national awakening personally. I have a hard time with that because I want to call them to awakening themselves in intimacy with Jesus. Because I believe that if they get clothed in intimacy, and this is the theme of the crossover, that if they get clothed in intimacy, then kings are going to come to the brightness of the rising. That nations are going to come to the brightness of their rising. And I believe that where it says the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, that what it's talking about is the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That there is a great dawning. All of creation has been groaning for a moment. When the sons and daughters of God are brought back into glory. That's the cue that I'm snotting. My wife's standing up. No, for real. I believe we're in that moment where there's a dawning of a day where the glory of God in the face of Christ shakes nations. You know, and we're watching that thing with Alex. I'm just like, if one person caught a river, that's why we make monuments to revivalists. Because they drank of a river. But what happens when the host of the hopeful drink of the river, and it's not just one? Because just one would be a river. So our dream, your dream, is that the region, all these little cities are swept into the glory of God. And maybe, maybe, by His grace, He's just saying, I want you to cross over. I want the ministry of righteousness, which is so much more exceeding in glory. I want you to have that on your inside. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Do you want to be a hypocrite? I don't want to form without power. Can we just sign up to the cross? Can we just sign up? God, we want to believe the report of the Lord. We want to believe that you bore our sorrows and carried our shame. You know what the great problem, one of the problems of the church, problem of myself, is at times we think that circumstances that we've gone through have been divine woundings that we're always going to live in and somehow find grace from. But your wound is not something you're meant to live in, because He bore your sorrows and He carried your griefs, and there's a greater stream of life than we've ever experienced. Can we just rise up? I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to stand up for a moment. God, we just ask you by your grace that you would help us to switch the reward. God, I thank you, God, that you've met us. You are meeting us tonight, God. Can we just do it in our own heart? Can we just admit hypocrisy, play acting, calling a generation to something that we don't even have? That's not condemnation, but it is. Come on, let's sit down at your table with great delight. God, I pray for a revelation of grace, God. Grace, 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 God. Release grace, the ministry of righteousness, God. Would you clothe us, God, in the switching of the reward? God, I pray for a regional awakening. God, that would start with just us getting a river. Give us a river, God. Break our own personal dams, God. Break our own personal spiritual dams, God. Thank you for the gift of righteousness, God. Thank you that you bore our sorrows and carried our shame. Can we again, if you got shame and sorrow, can you just give it to Jesus? Things that you're sad about, that you wish you could have done better, give it to Jesus. God, we want to cross over, God. Can we just commit by the grace of God that we're not going to hew out a broken cistern? We're not going to just commit to a system. Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but I don't want to commit to a system of four. Yeah. Let's just repent of that, can we? Yeah. God, we just ask you to forgive us for a system. God, for a form of godliness without power. God, help us. Cleanse us from broken cisterns that can't hold water, God. God, we ask you to restore us, God, to the fountain of living water. Cleanse us from broken systems. Let's just ask the Lord even for a regional cleansing. God, I pray in this region that you would cleanse us from form without power. God, we just ask you to forgive us for a system, God, that can't hold the spirit of life, God. Deliver us, like Alex says, from systemic Christianity, God. Just feel like in the next, he's given us a lifestyle. He's going to come and he's doing this great transition where he's going to come and he's going to say, that's form. That's a system. That's a broken cistern. And he's not going to do it in a grumpy way. But he's going to do it in a way where he's calling us like Amy into the depth of his heart, the Father's heart. God, I pray, bring us into the depth of your Father's heart, God.